evening of worship. You know, we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night with our 30th celebration, some wonderful testimonies and whatnot. What a rich time that was. And obviously, we're going to have Pastor Paul sharing the word with us and sharing some of our church's history in a few moments. Also, there are a couple things just about to happen. But, you know, for tonight, it was just on my heart to, I was thinking about the book of Acts as they ministered to the Lord. It's easy for us, and I hope after service you stick around and chat with people. Let's do that. And it's easy for us to talk, but to really honestly honor the Lord for His faithfulness in this. And 30 years, I mean, it's a big deal. In one sense, we're kind of just getting started, but it's still a big deal. And, you know, years ago at the Bible College, I would remind students at graduations that it's a good milestone. And milestones were put in place by the Romans, and they served two main purposes. Number one, it told you, you are on track. Like, you're still going the right direction. If you haven't seen a milestone for a while, you need to kind of find where the path is, where the road is, and get back on track. So they show you that you're on track, but they also show you that you're making progress. And this is a great milestone with this. And I love, love, love that we can be here, and love, love, love that we can celebrate this. And I would think that, I don't want to cut into Pastor Paul's sermon, but part of it is, of course, you know, the obvious, that's great, but what is God doing in you now? What is God doing through you now in terms of the gospel? And then what are His plans for you and His plans for you to work through you for the sake of the gospel moving forward? Milestones are great, but you're not meant to just sit there and stare at them. They involve progress. So let's do this. Let's take a second. We have this video of some various greetings, and then I'll introduce our founding pastor.
Greetings from Stone Mountain, Georgia. My name is Sandy Adams, and I'm the coordinator for the Calvary Chapel Deep South Region. When we started our Calvary Chapel over 40 years ago, we were one of the very first Calvaries east of the Rocky Mountains. And fellowship with like-minded brothers was few and far between. But praise the Lord how things have changed. This past September, we hosted 500 pastors and church leaders from Calvary Chapels that have been started since those early days back in the 1980s. Our movement has grown. And one of the catalysts for that growth were the pioneers, the pastors who came to the South when Calvary Chapel and the Jesus Revolution were largely unknown. Men who planted Calvary Chapels in the legalistic ground of a traditional Southern church culture. It took consistence and courage to do so. And one of those pioneers was my friend Paul Lester. I know Paul was a beloved pastor to the church in Rogers, but Paul was more than that to me. He was a pastor to pastors. He was a leader who joined arms with the other men who had come to the South to see Calvary Chapel grow in this part of the world. Thank you, Paul, for the role you played in those early days. And since Paul went back to California, we've been blessed to get to know Pastor Jeremy Foster. Over 30 years now, the Calvary Chapel of the Ozarks has been blessed with pastors committed to God's Word, who have loved with the heart of Jesus and who have persevered to pursue the calling God placed on their lives. I'm certain that in the days ahead, Pastor Jeremy will continue to lead the church well. Congratulations to Calvary Chapel of the Ozarks on its 30th anniversary. To God be the glory.
God bless you and congratulations to Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks. Pam and I have a great relationship with you because we made a visit there in 2020 and we enjoyed our time with you. So our prayers are with you. We're praying that God would just use you even more greatly there in your part of the country there. God bless you and we thank God for you. And we're praying for you. Congratulations. God bless.
Hey, Calvary Chapel in Ozarks. Happy 30th. We love you guys so much. Look forward to when we can see you guys again.
Congratulations. Happy 30.
Congratulations on your 30-year anniversary, Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks. That's a wonderful accomplishment.
Yes, congratulations. So happy for you.
Bill and Sherry Holdridge here. We were in Rogers for the transition from Pastor Paul to Jeremy and Christy, and so grateful for what the Lord has done. October 24th, 2013 is when they came to candidate, and then by the time January rolled around, they were ready to take over the helm of the senior pastorate there in Rogers. They've been through a lot. They had to survive COVID, the sale of a facility, the buying of a new one, remodeling of the new one, developing leadership. But job well done. We're looking forward to what God is going to do for you, with you, and through you in the coming years. God bless you.
Hey, Calvary, this is Jonathan Turner over at Cross Church Pinnacle Hills. Just want to say congratulations on the 30th anniversary. We are really excited over here at Cross Church to see all that God is going to do through Calvary, and not only through you, but in your church, and then how he's going to use you to impact the community around you and then the nations around the world. We're going to continue to pray for you over here at Cross Church, and we're just so thankful for the relationship that we have with your pastor, Jeremy. And again, just really excited to see how God's going to continue to use you to impact the kingdom. We love you guys and hope you have a great Sunday.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
This is Chris and Mary Jane Howe. We're serving here at the Ethnos 360 training in Missouri.
Thank you guys for the many years of supporting us and praying for us as we've served the Lord overseas and now are serving here stateside. We appreciate you guys.
You've been a huge blessing.
Bye.
Hello, Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks. Just want to congratulate you guys on 30 years of ministry there in Northwest Arkansas. Connected with you back in 1995, and you guys have been encouraging us, supporting us, and praying for us all these years, and we're just really thankful that we've been able to be involved in ministry together with you. So congratulations.
Yeah, we wish we could be there with you. Thank you for being a part of getting the gospel to those who haven't heard.
Hi, I'm John Pillivan of Calvary Chapel Bartlett in the Memphis, Tennessee area. To Jeremy, Christy, and my brothers and sisters there at Calvary Chapel of the Ozarks, congratulations on your 30th year anniversary. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." May Jesus continue to lead you as you keep on keeping on until he returns. And come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Hey, Calvary Chapel. This is Shea Spencer. I'm with Community Church in Union, Missouri. And some of you might remember me. Many of you probably will not. But my wife and I were a part of your fellowship some years ago at this point. But just for a short time, but you know, even in that short time, the Lord really connected our hearts to you guys. And, you know, we made some really good friends, met some amazing people, and the quickness with which the Lord attached my heart to the heart of your pastors, really amazing. Pastor Jeremy is one of my great friends. He's one of the people I respect the most in ministry. And I'm just super blessed to be acquainted with him and to still be connected with you. And I just want to say, happy anniversary, 30 years of amazing ministry right there in Northwest Arkansas, the very place where I grew up. And it just does my heart good to see the gospel light shining so bright in the place where I grew up. And so congratulations, to God be the glory. And something tells me that you guys may just be getting started. So happy anniversary, Calvary Chapel. We love you guys. God bless.
I love what Sandy said there about our founding pastor, more than, you know, quote unquote, only a pastor. And of course, that's why the Lord eventually led Paul and Cindy and Siobhan, of course, back to California to raise future pastors and leaders. And let's give a warm welcome to our founding pastor.
Thank you, Jeremy. All right. Well, after that video, we'll just close in prayer. Father, we thank you. Wow. That was awesome. Thank you for putting that together. Good stuff. Before I begin, I was reminded by Lloyd over here that back in the day when we were over on Perry, before we had built on the new addition, I was kind of running between services and had to hit the bathroom before everybody else did so I could be ready to teach the next service. And somehow, we didn't have urinals back then. All we had was two toilets next to each other without a stall. So I never was sure why that was built that way or why, who would use it, but I made sure the door was locked. Anyway, so as I flushed, somehow my pack dropped and I watched the pack from my microphone going towards the swirl, you know. I remember holding onto the thing, watching it in the water like this, pulling it back out anyway. So the next week, the sound guys gave me a little net like you use in a fish tank, some disposable wipes, you know, and all of that. It's like, oh my goodness. So yeah, yep, that's about how sophisticated I am. All right, well, if you have a Bible, and I'm sure you do, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. If you're a note taker, the title that I would attach to the study this morning is simply this: that God is faithful. And I, as I tell this story this morning, I want to really emphasize God's faithfulness to Calvary and the Ozarks. And of course, the story there is going to, you know, be my perspective, my family's perspective. And I apologize up front that I can't include all of the perspectives of all of the people who have been involved in the last 30 years. But I'll just give you my perspective, and I hope by way of encouragement to encourage you as a fellowship, but also as individuals, to always lean upon and know confidently that God is faithful. And God is faithful as you step out in response to His call in your life. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, where the Apostle Paul simply states, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me? Well, Father, this morning we are blessed to be here. It is a momentous occasion, and we thank You for all that 30 years of faithful ministry represent. But most of all, Lord, we're thankful for You. As we think about Your faithfulness to us individually and to this church, Father, my prayer this morning is that You would give us ears to hear not just what I'm going to be sharing this morning, but what Your Holy Spirit would speak to each of us concerning our own venture of faith. Lord, that You would encourage us to continue to grow and to continue to take steps of faith, to expand the ministry here of Calvary and the Ozarks to beyond what is already going on, to reach this community for You. And then, Lord, would You give us not only ears to hear, but a mind to comprehend, and most importantly, a heart that is open to receive what You want to speak to us individually. Father, we don't want to leave this building later this morning the same as we walked in. But Father, we want to walk out of here encouraged in our faith, excited about the future and how You might want to use each and every one of us to advance Your kingdom in these last days. And so, Lord, teach us, we pray, and we know that You will, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God's faithfulness. Can't think of a more appropriate theme for our study this morning as we celebrate 30 years of ministry here at Calvary in the Ozarks. God's faithfulness. And when I think about that, I mean His faithfulness to lead us, to direct us, to provide for us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, all of us who have been involved in the ministry over the last 30 years. And as Christy prayed during that opening session, those who are here this morning, as well as those who have been here for a period of time, and like we saw with Pastor Shea, God moved on afterwards. But we have these wonderful relationships with people who have been faithful to be a part of what God is doing at Calvary in the Ozarks. Now, again, I think I have a unique perspective because as the founding pastor, I know more than others what it's like to start a new church, and not just a new church, but a new style of church, a new style of ministry, in a place, as Sandy Adams made reference to, that all that people knew back then was traditional denominationalism. By way of example, I still remember that when we first moved here, when people would find out that as a pastor, initially I was working bivocationally, and so I started on a job site dragging 2x4s around, and basically it was comic relief because you look at these arms and you know this is not a framer. This is not a guy that, you know, hammers nails. I mean, and so they would have me carry 2x4s around. I did that for a few months until I got a job at J.B. Hunt. But people, when they found out that a pastor, say, you know, with kind of a look in their eye, well, what are you? Now, I notice that a lot of you don't have accents. That's not what I came to experience in 1994. There were a lot heavier Southern accents in 1994 than there are today. But people say, what are you? Are you Baptist? Are you Pentecostal? I mean, there's like two extremes, right? And so not knowing as a California transplant, how I should respond, I responded as we would respond in California. I say, oh, we're non-denominational. And you watch people kind of take a step back and another step just to make sure I didn't have a rattlesnake with me, right? I wasn't going to be drinking any poison, because in the minds of the good folks here in Northwest Arkansas, when you said non-denominational, they thought you were in a cabin up in the mountains and that you were practicing Mark 16, right? Where you're going to dance with a rattlesnake, let it bite you, make sure you got enough faith not to die, you know, drink a little poison. Now, I'm not exaggerating. That's the way people looked at us, but here's what we found. Once we figured out that it wasn't wise to say that we're non-denominational, I would just tell people, well, we're Bapticostal, which seemed to really resonate with a lot of people. And we found more often than not, people go, you know what? We're looking for Bapticostal, right? Because they wanted the teaching of God's word that was so absent in so many of the Pentecostal churches, but they didn't want to deny the gifts of the Spirit. And so they're like, Bapticostal. Well, that sounds like something that I'm looking for. All that to kind of by way of introduction, talk a little bit about this morning, about God's faithfulness to start Calvary in the Ozarks. If you look at Calvary in the Ozarks website, you'll find that Pastor Jeremy has graciously kind of put a little thing called Our History. It talks a bit about Pastor Chuck Smith, that whom God used to start Calvary Chapel, and then it talks a little about me and my family. But of course, you know, websites are limited. You can't just have pages of information about how it started, how they ended up here. And so it's just, you know, I mean, appropriately, just a paragraph or two. So I kind of want to fill you in. And Pastor Jeremy mentioned that Wednesday night when he was interviewing my wife, who he discovered is ornery. Yeah, I've been living with that for 44 years, right? Anyway, but anyway, all that to say, Pastor Jeremy looked at and said, you're going to finish that story, aren't you? And I am this morning. So I want to give you a little information about the background. How it is that Calvary and the Ozarks came to be. What got me and my family out of Central Valley, California, to come to a land that we did not know. And it's a story of God's faithfulness. Now again, it's my story, my family's story from our perspective. But again, I want to emphasize the underlying theme here is God's faithfulness. And my encouragement to you is that when God calls, and He calls all of us, the Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians, reminds us that every one of us has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit. And that gift is to be used in the context of body ministry. Almost all the gifts are body ministry. There's very few that are outward to the lost, right? And we, whatever our gift is, whether it's outward or inward, we want to make sure that we're using it. And my hope this morning is to encourage you to continue to grow in your faith, to take ventures of faith, and to grow in that faith, because God is faithful. Well, the first thing I want to mention is that God is faithful to call us. Now, for those of you who don't know, Calvary Chapel grew out of one church in Costa Mesa, Southern California, to literally thousands of churches around the United States and around the world today. And in part, that growth came, and there was a big burst in the mid-90s of guys going out, because our pastor would communicate to us. He would say, listen, you need to take a venture of faith. You need to step out in response to God's call on your life. And that is that we believed as young men and women that if God called, that God would provide all that we would need to pursue that call wherever He called us and to do whatever He called us to do. And so all that to say that we believed that if we would step out in obedience to God's call in our life, that God would be faithful to help us to pursue that call. Well, our venture of faith began in 1993, when I was on staff as the very first youth pastor at Calvary Chapel Modesto. And it was a great place to do ministry, in part because we have an incredible, world-renowned Bible teacher for our senior pastor. In fact, I was at a senior pastor's conference years ago when Pastor Chuck Smith was still alive, and I remember distinctly in front of like 1,200 senior pastors, he introduced my pastor this way. He said, "And now for my favorite Bible teacher." Well, I mean, that's a mic drop. Most like, who is this guy, the Pastor Chuck Smith, who's considered to be a once-in-a-generation kind of Bible teacher, is looking at this guy, whoever this guy is going to be, as his favorite Bible teacher? That was my pastor, Damien Kyle. All that to say that we were excited to be doing ministry at Calvary Chapel Modesto. I was the first youth pastor. That's all that I ever wanted to do. I had no other desire than that. From the moment I got saved, April 4th, 1996, or 1976, excuse me, until I went on staff in June of 1991, my goal was to be a youth pastor. And 2 weeks after I came on staff, I was at a youth pastor's conference, and I had my team of people with me that served in that youth ministry. And I remember sitting at breakfast, and one of my good friends, Tony Magana, was sitting opposite me. And he was a pretty muscular guy, and he would typically, when breakfast was served, just pick up the plate and kind of do this thing, right? But that morning, he was just kind of stirring his eggs and stuff and not really eating. I thought, Tony, what's wrong? Are you okay? Are you sick? He said, Pastor Paul, I just never thought of you as a youth pastor. Well, thanks, Tony. That great encouragement. I've been on staff for 2 weeks, and you're supposed to be working for me. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I always saw you as a senior pastor. I'm like, whoa, no, time out. Absolutely not. I have no desire to be a senior pastor. Don't want to be a senior pastor. I want to be a youth pastor. That's it. But it put this little seed in my brain. And for the next year and a half, I just kind of, you know, rolling around their senior pastor. No, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get under my feet, Satan, right? I remember sometime in 1993, probably early 1993, I was doing my morning devotionals, and I stumbled across in that devotion, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, where the Lord said to Abraham, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I'll show you. As I read the scripture, I just had this overwhelming sense that God was making this personal. In other words, it wasn't just reading history. God was speaking to Paul Lester saying, this is my call on your life. That you and your family are supposed to get out of California, get away from your family, and go to a land that I'll show you and start a new Calvary Chapel. I thought, no, not me. And again, as clear as it was, I wanted to be cautious because I've known so many young men and so many young women who have read that same scripture. It's kind of a cliche scripture in the ministry to say, you know, Genesis 12:1, I've been called by the Lord. And so I'm like, I'm going to put the brakes on this. I think this is the Lord talking to me, but I want confirmation. I want to move slowly because I don't want to just jump, because that may just be Paul Lester making something out of the scripture where God isn't doing something. So I began to pray that God would show me what he wanted to do. Kept this hidden in my heart, didn't share it with my pastor, I didn't share it with my friends, I didn't even share it with my wife. It was just something in my heart that I began to pray about. Meanwhile, I began decorating my office with maps. Because I'm thinking, if God's calling me, well, somewhere. So I remember the first map I put up was a map of the continental United States. And I just look at it, waiting for boo, angels and music and like a light, boo, right? And then I put up a map of Japan because I had heard at a pastor's conference that less than 1% of the population at that time were believers in Christ. I thought, man, wide open mission field. And I knew my wife liked Australia because of koala bears, so I just thought I'd put a map of Australia up there just in case, right? And people would come and go, man, you got a lot of maps. And so I couldn't say anything, right? It's all in my heart. I don't know if the Lord is really talking to me. I just say, yeah, I like maps. But every morning, just kind of looking at maps. Again, just waiting, hoping that God would speak to me. Well, God is faithful to call. He is also faithful to confirm the call. So if you're taking notes, that first point is God is faithful to call, and he's called all of us. Point number two is he's faithful to confirm the call. Paul, writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, says, he who calls you is faithful, and then listen, who will also do it. That is Paul's encouragement, is that God who calls us, and he has called us, will also be faithful to do in us that which is required so that we can do what he's called. He's going to equip us for the call. He's going to give us direction for the call. He's going to make provision for the call. And he's going to confirm that call in our life. And I was praying for confirmation. Well, again, regarding our little venture of faith, I was still growing more confident, I was growing more confident that maybe God was leading in this direction. But to this point, I still didn't have that for sure moment where it's like, yes, God is in this. And so I just stayed busy with ministry. And my encouragement to you is this. If you believe God is calling you to do something that you don't know but different, be faithful in what you're doing today. Just continue to be busy about the Lord's work, confident that if he's calling you to something different, he's going to make it clear. And so again, I'm waiting for confirmation before we step out into the unknown. Well, sometime after that, I'm in a Monday morning pastor's meeting. It's just my pastor, senior pastor Damian Kyle, assisting pastor John Palladini, and myself. In the middle of our meeting, there's a knock on the door, which would be unusual because the secretary knew, you don't interrupt Pastor Damian while he's having this meeting. But anyway, she knocks on the door and pokes her head and says, Pastor Damian, Pastor Chuck's on the phone. Oh, Pastor Chuck. And I remember Damian looking a little sheepish and saying, gentlemen, would you excuse me? So we vacated, and the phone call basically went something like this. Pastor Chuck Smith had heard our pastor teach at a conference and was like, wow, this guy is called and gifted communicator of the Scripture. And so Pastor Chuck asked our senior pastor to go to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Big Calvary. And again, this is in the 90s when they had something going Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then like three services Sunday morning and a Sunday night, all of them packed. Without exaggeration, between Monday and Sunday, something like 25,000 people went through those doors. I mean, it was just like, it was just amazing. So our pastor is asked to go down to Costa Mesa to cover Sunday evening. And so he looks at me and says, Paul, I'd like you to do that Sunday evening in my place here at Calvary Modesto. I'm thinking, whoa, I get to talk to the big people, right? This is exciting. Not just the junior hires who are like doodling and putting, I love you, Freddie, or whatever on their notes. But teaching the adults, right? So I'm pretty excited about that. I remember we got together for pre-prayer with a worship team, and it's like I got all my notes, and Kit Lloyd, who is our worship leader, he begins to pray, and God, if you've got something else for Paul to teach, just erase his notes. And I'm like, whoa, no! I'm going to be glued to my notes, bro. Anyway, so I got up and I taught that evening, and I remember it went okay. I wasn't, it wasn't polished. It wasn't like, the best I would ever do, but it was my first opportunity to teach the adults. Well, at the end of service, I remember that Cindy had to get home with the kids. They were younger at that time, 9, 7, and 5. And so I would be there late on a Sunday evening, getting the church locked up, talking to anybody who wanted to hang out, praying with anybody who wanted to hang up, and finally alarming the building. And so typically on a Sunday night, get home maybe 10 o'clock in the evening. And so I'd get home typically, and Cindy would have the children already, washed and jamified and in their beds, right? Jamified, is that a word? Anyway, you can quote me on that. Jamified. And she would normally already be asleep. But I remember she shared this last Wednesday night when Pastor Jeremy was interviewing her. I walked in the door, and not only was the light on in the kitchen, but the light in the living room was on, which was unusual. So I walked around the corner, and I see my beautiful bride with the Bible open on her lap, and I'm thinking, uh-oh. Did I say something during the sermon? Like, did I use an example from our family life that maybe embarrassed her? Did I say something like, the smoking hot Cindy Lester, where she's going to be like, what are you saying? So I'm looking at her, and as we make eye contact, I can see, okay, she's not angry, but something's going on. She closed her Bible, and she said, Paul, while you were teaching tonight, the Lord laid on my heart Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And he told me that God is calling us away from our family, out of California, to a place he'd show us to plant a new Calvary Chapel. Well, I'm slow, but I recognize that God was confirming what he had spoken to me some year or so before that. The exact same scripture, the exact same message that Cindy didn't know that I had received, didn't know I was praying about, the Lord speaks to her. And by the way, that particular Sunday night, I'm in the New Testament, never even talked about Genesis. And so we began to pray, believing that God had now called us and confirmed that call. Now we need to know where he is calling us. Well, back to our text in Genesis 12. Here's again what God said to Abraham. He said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. And then listen, he says, to a land that I will show you. That is, God was calling Abraham to a place. A place he'd never been. To people he didn't know, to do the ministry that God had called him to do. And he promises there at the end of that verse that he would show him the land to which he was calling him. In other words, God promised to be faithful to show the way. Not only faithful to call, not only faithful to confirm the call, but now faithful to give direction to know where it is that God was calling him to go. And so too, Cindy and I believed as we waited on the Lord that He'd be faithful to show us where it was that we were supposed to plant a new Calvary Chapel. Again, whether it was Japan or Australia or somewhere in the continental United States, or maybe on the beaches of Maui, right? I didn't know, but we began to pray. Now, back in 1993 and 94, Calvary Costa Mesa maintained a list called the Pastor's Wanted List. But again, Calvary Chapel is just exploding around the world, and so literally once a month, if you were an ordained Calvary pastor, Calvary Chapel pastor, you could ask, and Odin Fong would send this thing to you once a month. And it was a type page, three kind of columns, beginning A all the way to C. And I'm not kidding, like 6-7 pages, double-sided. Everything from from Alabama to Zimbabwe. And people say, hey, we've been listening to Chuck Smith's tapes. We don't have a church within 50 miles. We got three families. Would you consider sending a pastor to start a church here, right, in Zimbabwe? Or sometimes it'd be a church where they had lost their pastor, it was a denominational church, and then they get kind of the whole Jesus people movement thing, and they're like, man, wouldn't it be great to have a Calvary pastor, and they got an established church, and they're looking for somebody. So every month I'm looking at this list again, I'm looking for the light, I'm waiting for the music, for the angel wings, you know, something like, right, something to indicate, but nothing's happening. Well, at about that time, Cindy and I began to pray and ask the Lord, who is it that would take my place as a senior pastor? Youth pastor. Because we had invested so much in these young people, these junior hires and senior hires, it's like, okay, Lord, if you're calling us, that means you must be calling someone else to fill in that void. And we began to pray, and independently, the Lord put in both our hearts a guy named Chuck Fleming. Now, you don't know Chuck Fleming. I'm going to describe him to you. To this day, he still looks like Doctor Who, right? He looks very proper British with a little bow tie and the kind of the coiffed hair and all that. And he's just a very polished guy. And I'm thinking, not going to work with junior hires. They're going to have his lunch, right? Because here's Chuck on the worship team and just very proper and all of that. And it's like, no, you need somebody that can pick up kids and smack them together when they're out of line. Chuck's not that guy, right? But nonetheless, that was the name that God put on my heart and on Cindy's heart. Well, we were having a pastor's meeting again on a Monday morning, and Pastor Damon looked at me and said, you know, we've noticed the children's ministry is really rapidly growing and all that. We're thinking of bringing somebody on staff to help with the ministry now that things are growing, kind of dividing it. You take junior high, senior high, and we're thinking about bringing on Chuck Fleming, right, to take over the newborn to sixth grade. I'm like, Chuck Fleming. Okay. So I went out again on faith and thought, I need to kind of communicate with my pastor what we believe God's calling us to do. And so I said, Pastor Damon, could we grab coffee afterwards? Now, you have to understand that in the mid-90s, all my other friends who were youth pastors at that time who told their senior pastors that God was calling them on, that was their last day at work. Typically, they say, well, sounds like God's moving on. God bless you, brother. Well, I'm a husband with a wife and three children, and I'm thinking, if that happens, we're in trouble. And so, again, you don't know Pastor Damien, but he's 6'6" with a sharpened stainless steel hook. No, I'm kidding. He 6'4", played basketball in college. He's a pretty big guy. He's Scottish, which he likes to continue to remind us, very stern. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, we're going to have coffee, and I'm going to be fired today. And so I remember sharing with Pastor Damien what I've shared briefly with you this morning, and he looked at me and he said, Pastor Paul, I knew the day we brought you on staff that this day is coming. I'm just so blessed we've been able to have you as long as we have. What can we do to help you? So now, right, I'm not fired. So we plan out, right, our summer, and I'm going to oversee, right, our summer mission trip, our summer junior high camp, our summer senior high camp, because we were coordinating camps for the entire Northern California and Western Nevada, all the Calvary chapels for those things, and I'm the guy. So I can't just go, bye-bye. So I'm going to train up my replacement, Chuck Fleming, and get the church through the summer, believing that at the end of the summer, we're going to know where God's directing us. We'll sell our house, we'll have equity, money in the bank, and we're going to go Australia, Japan, wherever it is, right? Well, we start to work down that process and kind of moving along. And then one night I get a phone call from a friend of ours named Bobby Fassbender. Now, he and his family had moved to Northwest Arkansas because of the building boom, and he was a sheetrock guy, so he's doing that and having a great old time. And he calls us, and he says, Pastor Paul, I believe, and my wife too, that God has called us to help you to start a church in Northwest Arkansas. And I thought, Northwest Arkansas? where's that? What? And he lived in Hiawassee at the time. It's like, Hiawati? Anyway, so I'm all, well, Bobby, listen, we've been praying a bunch, and the only thing in the United States that we're even thinking about might be Columbia, Missouri. We got some contacts up there. We've kind of reached out a little bit, but I'm not sure about Arkansas. The only thing I knew about Arkansas was that the president at the time, Bill Clinton, was from Arkansas. Well, anyway, we said we'd pray about it and all that. So we began to pray. Well, the summer flies by. I get the mission trip to Mexico done. I get our junior high camp done, our senior high camp done. We're moving through the summer. Now we're at the first Monday in September. I've trained my replacement. I've fulfilled my commitment to Calvary Modesto. And we don't know where we're going. And so again, I remember sitting down at a pastor's meeting on a Monday morning. We kind of cover all our business, and my pastor looks at me and says, so, Pastor Paul, where do you believe God's calling you guys to go? I said, I have no idea. We're not sure where it is, Australia, Japan, Columbia, Missouri, we don't know. And he said, well, listen, you've fulfilled your commitment to the church. You've trained your replacement, and you got us through the summer, and we're so thankful for that. You know, the church can't really afford to keep two youth pastors on staff, so we're going to go ahead and give you your 30-day notice. So I did what all great men of God do. I cried like a baby. I should have never told you. You know, it was embarrassing. I mean, it was like, you know, fortunately it's not on video, so you can't see it. But anyway, Pastor Damon looked at me and just so calm and reassuring says, no, God is in this. God's going to take care of it. And listen, here's what the church, we're committed to you and Cindy and the family. If you believe God's calling you somewhere, we will pay for you to fly out there and spy out the land like Joshua and Caleb. See if that's what God's in it. Well, I went home that night and I was crushed. I'm thinking, 30 days and I don't have salary. It's like, can I go back to the, you know, what I used to do before I was a pastor? Maybe go back to the semiconductor industry? What am I going to do to, you know, something? I got to figure out how to make a living. And I get home and Cindy's got the mail out and there's a envelope from Odin Fong with the pastor's wanted list. Now, I've been getting this now for almost a year. I open it up, and for the first time, there are two families in Northwest Arkansas. One in Fayetteville, one in Rogers. And so we're getting on a map. That was before computers and the internet. It's like paper map. Hiawassee. There it is. Rogers. There it is. Fayetteville. We're like, oh, three families. That's at least a Bible study, a home fellowship or something. So we decided we were going to go out. So in any event, we found out that there was a Christian university out here, John Brown University, found out that they ran public service announcements on their Christian radio station. So I send them this little thing. If you're interested in Calvary Chapel, beginning in Northwest Arkansas, meet at the Ramada Inn on 8th Street, in Rogers, Arkansas on Thursday night or whatever it was. Anyway, we had no idea. We're just sending this thing out. Well, we fly out and fly into the old Fayetteville Airport. Anybody remember that? Yeah. You come in and the pilots are all right, everyone, hang on and start praying. Because it's like in a bowl. And so you come over the mountains and there's all this, and then you're going to try to just land on this tiny runway. Anyway, we land. We get our rental car. We're making our way up Highway Business 71, through the university. We're like, wow. And then we see this huge crowd of people. We're like, wow, what's going on? And we look over on the steps of the courthouse. There are Ku Klux Klan. We're from California. It's like, push on the gas pedal. Now, we didn't know it, that the crowd, we thought they were all there supporting them, but the crowd was actually an anti-protest against them. We didn't know that at the time. We just thought the entire city was going that direction. Anyway, well, we had our meeting that Thursday night, and I remember I was kind of surprised because I thought, again, we have these three families, but we had probably 25 adults show up, and I thought, wow, that's really cool. So I shared a little bit about Calvary Chapel, what it is, why it's different, what we hope to do if God, confirmed that we're supposed to come back. And the whole time at the back of the little meeting room at the Ramada Inn, there was this guy just standing there. And just a perfect specimen of a man. I mean, like 6'1", and he had just perfect tone. Not overly muscular, just perfect. Like, oh, that's the body I was supposed to get, And then he had that perfect, walnut color. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, come to find out later, he's a Native American. But he just stood there, never said a word, never participated, waited until everyone left. And he came up afterwards, he said, Pastor Paul, I need you to save my marriage. What? We're going to be here like, I mean, we're here for a week and like we're just here. He said, listen, here's what happened. Anyway, long story, I won't bore you with. But he asked us to meet him for dinner the next night because he and his wife had a blowout argument that week. And she said, if you don't get counseling, I'm going to leave you. And he said, well, I won't counsel anybody but a Calvary Chapel pastor. Well, you can say that in Arkansas in 1994 because there are no Calvary Chapels. Well, guess what? Part of his scholarship after getting out of the U.S. military was working at John Brown University as a janitor. So he's sweeping up the basketball court after a game. They're playing the Christian music station there, right? And then he's sweeping as he goes like this. He says, if you're interested in a Calvary Chapel ministry, he's like, what? So he shows up. So we agree, okay, well, we'll meet you for dinner. So the next night we go out, and this is before GPS, all the way out to Siloam Springs. He goes, all right, go past the third fence post, and then there's going to be a come and go, and you're just going to stop there, and I'll meet you there, and then we'll go to the house, right? So we drive out there. He meets us. What he doesn't know, what we don't know, is his wife has decided, you know what, I'm done. So she calls the local pastor and says, come and get me, take me and the kids to the shelter. We show up. And there they are all packed, and apparently the pastor she called never found their house. So I look at him, I look at her, and I see his veins start to do this. I think, I'm going to die tonight. Right? This is, well, here we go. And so I'm just like, time out. Let's just go ahead and go to dinner. So I remember sitting at that steakhouse, I don't know what it is, there in Silent Springs, and they wouldn't even look at each other. And the waitress is coming by, kind of putting the menus out. Hey, good evening. It's like, and what would y'all have? And they're like, not even talking. It's like, oh, we'll do, morning. And she's, anyway, I don't have time to warm them up and kind of be nice. So I just take my Bible, turn around and said, to the man, read to me Ephesians 5:25. What does that say? Read out loud. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. All right, brother. Start telling me how this and this and this and this and this behavior that you've exhibited to your wife is loving Christ, loving your wife like Christ loves the church. Well, and I turn around to her. Come on now, read this to me. Well, wives, submit to your husband and respect your husband. It's like, well, come on now, when you do this and this and this, are you doing, it's like, and meanwhile, the waitress is like shoving the salads apart. It's like, she's like, I don't know what's going on over here, right? And so now we got them talking, and so I like, have them look at each other. Turn around the booth. I want you to look at each other. Now, sir, you take her hands. You hold his hands. Now, you, husband, you're going to start. You're going to initiate. Right now, you are going to ask her for forgiveness for all the things that she has told me that you are doing in the home. Okay. So he starts to do that. And the lips quiver and the starts tears coming down. And I look at her. Now, you, honey, are going to do the same thing. Ask him for forgiveness. And then he's going to forgive you. Meanwhile, the waitress is like, I'm done here. It's like we're just throwing the sticks over there. I'm not getting... Well, by the time we're done, right, they're like hugging on each other, snotting on each other, crying and everything. And that night, as Cindy and I head home, I thought, what are the odds that we'd go to a place we've never been in our entire lives? They would put this ad on the radio that this guy and his wife would have this argument, that he would say that I won't counsel anybody except Calvary Chapel pastor, that we would actually be here, run this public service announcement on the radio station that he'd happen to be listening to, for him to show up and for us to write, wow. And so we thought, okay, God's in it. So now we believe that we knew where God was calling us. We just weren't sure when, right? So we had the call, the God's confirmed the call. Now we know where we're going, but we just don't know when we're going. And so back in California, as I was once again in a morning devotion, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21, where Paul, writing to his young protege, he says this. He says, do your best to come before winter. And again, just like confirmation, I'm thinking, Lord, are you speaking? And there's just this overwhelming sense. Again, it's not just historical information, but this word, this from the scripture, this is what God is communicating to my heart about my life, my family's life, and the venture of faith that he's called us to. And so based on that encouragement, we began to prepare to go to Northwest Arkansas. But there were a few obstacles in our way. The housing market had collapsed in Modesto, so our house that had been worth, at the time, about $128,000 was now worth $82,000, and we owed about $90,000. So we're a little upside down. So there's no equity, right? Oh, and by the way, the only car that I owned at the time was a 1966 Dodge Dart with more rust than paint that my senior pastor used to laugh and go, oh, that's a Jerry Brown mobile. He was the governor of California who drove cars like that. Well, it's not going to get us across country. So I'm thinking, how in the world? So we just begin, like, you know, selling whatever we can sell, giving away what we can so that we could travel light. And so we began to make preparation to come out here. Well, then I thought, well, I'll get a job. I had a pretty nice resume because prior to being a youth pastor, I had worked in a Fortune 125 company. I ran an international engineering group, you know, handling hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, I had accolades, I had a degree from a prestigious school and blah, blah, blah. I thought, surely somebody in Northwest Arkansas would hire me. Walmart, Tyson, J.B. Hunt, all these people, they wouldn't even return a call. I come to find out they weren't interested back in 1994 because if you don't live here, they don't want to talk to you. So I thought, okay, well, we'll get an address. We'll rent something. But nobody would rent to us because we didn't have a job there. Well, how do you get into Arkansas? So we literally had to leave California with no place to live and no job. And that brings me to my next point. God is always faithful to provide. In the Calvary movement, we have a proverb, one of many Calvary proverbs, and that is where God guides, God provides. And it's based on a number of scriptures, but the one scripture I kind of like is Isaiah 58:11, where the Lord says, I will guide you continually, and I will satisfy your soul in drought. I'll strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. In other words, God is going to provide as you follow Him as He guides. And so again, we began to prepare for leaving towards Arkansas. So now we have a date, get there before winter. But we still don't have a house to live in, still don't have a job, still don't have a way to get there. And so the Sunday morning that Pastor Damien presented my family to the fellowship and communicated, hey, this is what's going on, church, right? Pastor Paul is trying to believe God is calling them out to plant a new church in a different part of the world. There was a couple sitting in the back of the church that thought, hey, I wonder if they could use our van. They had a Dodge Caravan that they had driven into the ground, but then they put a brand new motor and transmission in it, new shock absorbers, new tires. I mean, it was plain, but it was like solid. And then they decided, yeah, we want a new van. So they bought a new van. So then they had this one. They thought, hey, I wonder if the Lesters could use our van. So right after service, this couple approaches, says, hey, could you use a van? I'm all, what? And then another couple comes over and says, we can't buy your house, but we'll rent it for whatever your mortgage is. What? And then that week, my uncle calls me to tell me, hey, by the way, your grandma left you a little inheritance. $15,000, 1994 money in LA Times stock. Like, what? Now, again, we're ready to go with no place to live, no way to get there, no job, right? We just take the step. And then God provided. And so as we headed out, again, it was exciting because we still didn't have a place to point the car, but our friend Sharon Fassbender found us a cute little duplex down in Johnson. So we arrived at sometime in September or October, I don't remember when it was, we thought we'd just move right in this little duplex. Unfortunately, from the time she rented it to the time we showed up, it had blossomed in fleas. So we couldn't stay there. So we thought, well, we'll just get a hotel. Silly Californians. It was homecoming and War Eagle the same weekend. It's never happened since, right? So we're literally like at the Dixieland Cafe, right, calling hotels from here to Tulsa, and everybody's laughing at us. Y'all must not be from around here. Anyway. Well, then the God provided not only the means for us to get here, but also the place. I remember looking for a place down by the university because we really thought God would plant us near the University of Arkansas, kind of appealing to the student population. But back then in 94, Walmart had snapped up every square foot of vacant real estate to accommodate their growing merchandise that they were shipping all over the world. So literally, rental property in Northwest Arkansas in 94 was more than it was in San Francisco, California. I mean, it's like, what? Well, then one of the friends that we had found a little place on 109 Elm Street, just around the corner, tiny little storefront that was rented by Mary Kay Cosmetics. And they didn't use it on the weekends. So they were willing to rent it to us for $50 a week. And I thought, $50 a week, I can do that, right? We don't even have to have tires in a congregation. Why, Paul can do that. Now, that wouldn't have meant anything to anybody else except somebody from Calvary Modesto. Because when Calvary Chapel Modesto started, it started in a rental facility that Mary Kay owned, where the bathroom was directly behind the pulpit. We walk into 109 Elm Street, and I look at all the pink Cadillacs, the Ladder of Success, and all the stuff, and guess where the pulpit's going to be? The restroom's right behind. You only made that mistake once, right? Excuse me, Pastor, I got to just use the room, right? Can you imagine during service? It's like everybody waiting, flush. All right, and continuing with the study this morning. In any event, our first Sunday morning service was November 13th, 1994. But then the Lord provided the most important part, and that was the people. We were talking about this the other night, my family and I, and saying, you know, what are some of the things that you remember as I talked to my wife and daughter about our time in Northwest Arkansas? What are the special moments? And Siobhan, our daughter, she said, you know, we came to Northwest Arkansas strangers, but we left with a family. And I wish I could thank every single person who sacrificially gave and got involved in that teeny tiny startup church on 109 Elm Street, who made it possible for that church to begin and to grow and to eventually acquire their own facility and all of that, and one day for me even to leave J.B. Hunt where I was working and go on staff full time. And it was the people that made the ministry important, because without the people you don't have a ministry. If all you got is a building, you have a building. The church is the people. And I think of all the wonderful people that have been involved in our lives, who have, again, served and helped and been involved doing so many wonderful things to grow this church. And to me, that's the most important part. When I'm back in California and I think about Arkansas, I love the beauty. And I still can't believe that now you guys have more bike trails. Like when I moved here, there were no bike trails. Now you have like the top indie coffee roaster in the country. When I was here, I had to have my coffee shipped to me from California. There was no Mexican food except Taco Bell. And the only advantage to Taco Bell was that you could write a check and you could write it for 20 over and they'd give you the cash back. But again, it was God that provided a family for us. As Pastor Jeremy made reference, back in 2013, God called us back to California. Won't go into all that story, but it was just another miraculous thing. We've been serving ever since. And then God was faithful to provide this church with a new pastor and family. And I'm blessed to have had Jeremy and Christy as friends and also ask us to come and share this morning. And I'm just excited about what's next for Calvary and the Ozarks. Wednesday night, it was fun to have Pastor Jeremy interviewing some of you all and saying, you know, what do you see for the next 30 years of Calvary Chapel? And some of you are sharing some vision for the church. And I'm just going to encourage you this morning, God is faithful to call, faithful to confirm the call. He's faithful to provide you and equip you with all you need to pursue that call to expand the ministry of Calvary and the Ozarks to Northwest Arkansas and beyond, to wherever He might call you. And so again, I want to just encourage you, listen, if you want to experience the miraculous, and I didn't have time to go into the whole story. When I tell the story, the full story of what God did and the different ways He spoke, typically this is how people respond. Man, that's like a Book of Acts story. Yeah, it is. Because God is still doing those things. And I want you to know that. I want you to be encouraged. But listen, you won't experience the supernatural that way unless you heed the call. And God is calling you. And so I would encourage you this morning to just be open to how the Lord might be speaking to your heart, whether it's to begin something new here, to approach Pastor Jeremy or Pastor Josh and say, hey, you know, this is stirring my heart. What do you think? Well, let's pray about it, you know, and then let God confirm and then see how God might grow you, right? It might be that God is calling you to do something completely new and different like He did in our family, with our family and our story. But again, God will confirm it and God will provide all that you need to pursue His call. So friends, I just want to thank you for being here this morning, and especially those who made a big commitment to drive some of you 3 hours or more to be here this morning. And I so appreciate your love and your faithfulness to the Lord, and also your faithfulness to bless me and my family. So Would you pray with me? Father, this morning we thank you for who you are and all that you've done here at Calvary the Ozarks. Lord, it is truly a work of your faithfulness. And again, Father, I'm just sharing my perspective, but there are men and women here this morning who, some have been here almost since the day one we began. And all of us have experienced your faithfulness as we have grown in the gift and the callings that are upon our lives. And Father, my prayer is that you would bless this fellowship, that you would make this fellowship a significant force in Northwest Arkansas and to the ends of the earth. And by force, I mean a light to the lost, an encouragement to the saints, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and to do all that this church is called to do uniquely in the body of Christ here in Northwest Arkansas. Bless Pastor Jeremy and his family. Bless this fellowship. And Lord, I ask that if you this morning have spoken to any of us about a new call on our lives, something that you've placed there, planted there, that you would then confirm it, and Lord, that you would give that person the faith to pursue that call that you've put in their life, not hesitant, not fearful, but trusting that as they step out in faith, that you will be faithful to provide all that they need for life and ministry. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning and all that it represents. Thank you for these wonderful saints and the blessing they are to me and my family. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you stand with me? Sorry, I'm throwing pins on the ground. Again, thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to encourage you to hang out and fellowship, especially if you drove any amount of time. We'd love to get to you, you know, so be patient. You know, I can talk to one person at a time. I'm not omnipresent. So, Siobhan, I would love to hang out and get to see you, hug on you, and just encourage you again to come back tonight. What time is that, Pastor? Six o'clock. To worship the Lord and to be thankful for all he's done. And finally, if you need prayer for anything, Pastor Jeremy's here, Pastor Josh and myself. All right, God bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may his grace be upon you. Amen.